This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, November 22nd, 2010, here at Gillette Stadium. Big day. This is Andy Hart, joined by Paul Perillo and Eric Scalavino, who shortly after this podcast will be boarding a bus and then a plane, and heading out to San Diego.
Yep, we're going 6 hours west today. 1 year ago today, Paul and Andy, we were heading 6 hours east to London.
Yeah, little known fact.
Mm-hmm.
That worked out well for the Patriots. Maybe this one will work out equally as well. That one also worked out well for Brandon Merriweather. Maybe
That's
this
right.
week will be a nice bounce back week for him and his new style of play and lower hitting zone and all that. But that's a different topic for a different day. That's PFW in Progress.
Different podcast.
Tuesdays to Thursdays, noon to 2 here on Patriots.com. Today it's a Roster Report podcast where we break down each and every single move the team makes.
All of them?
We've been spoiled a little bit in recent
weeks. Are we going to be able to get through all of them today?
Are we going
to
break them all down?
We traded Randy Moss away. Then we traded Deion Branch back. This week the big move involves the practice squad.
The final spot.
Where Bubba 2.0, Ross Ventrone, has
Baby
been
Bubba.
Re-signed to fill the void left when Brett Ratliff was signed by
Brett.
I believe that was the opening.
When he finished his cup
week.
Of coffee and then left
yes.
for Cleveland.
Obviously, Ventrone, the brother of the other Ventrone.
Ray.
I was going to say Russ, and this is Ross, but it's Ray. The famous Ventrone family. Ross in the league, of course.
Good NFL lineage.
You can't remember him.
Good NFL bloodlines there.
No, they're so famous, I kind of blend them together as one player. But he's back. We'll move on from that topic. And look at the injury report. That's kind of part of the roster, makeup of the roster, game day
mm-hmm.
roster. Interesting this week, I think, a couple positions. Safety position, first and foremost. Last week, James Sanders missed the game with a hamstring injury. Gerard Page left the game with a calf injury. Page has not practiced so far this week.
Haven't seen him once.
Doesn't look like he'll be good to go. But most importantly, Jimmy is practicing and looks like he is good to go.
And spoke in the locker room, which is another encouraging sign.
And is just a tremendous all-around human
oh,
being
here
and
we
football
go.
Player.
He had to take it one step further.
Get a little depth there, and I brought up Merriweather earlier. Big game last year in London. Questionable game last week. Big news all week, not just in New England, but national circles as part of the three-part head-hunting, vicious hits, fines, NFL controversy. Admitted he is going to change his game a little bit and
hopefully
try
to hit
for the lower,
better.
Hopefully. But I wonder, do either of you have concerns that in changing his game this late in his career at the NFL level, could it lead to thinking too much on the field, a step slow, or hesitance, or anything of that nature? And I'll start with you, Eric Scalavino, since you deep side.
Well, I think initially it might, because, you know, when you go through a change of that magnitude, there's going to be a little bit of a, you know, grace period from, I mean, unless he has an immediate, you know, sharp learning curve. But I think long haul, I'm encouraged by the fact that he's at least admitting that he has this issue that he needs to correct, and hopefully he'll work on it enough so that, you know, before the end of the season, we'll see better, proper tackling technique, finally, from Brandon Merriweather. And, you know, it might initially, you know, you might see him hesitant for a couple of games, but over the long term, I think it'll be beneficial for him.
Paul, you have concerns this week for a Chargers team that obviously likes to get the ball down the field and challenge safeties a little bit. Where Merriweather, first of all, do you believe Merriweather will play a significant portion this week, or could we see more of the third defensive back being the corner with James Sanders, Patrick Chung? And if he does play, are you concerned that he could be slowed, hesitant, and the Chargers could take advantage?
I would expect to see him playing the way he has been lately before the hit the other day when he lost significant playing time. And that is to say on a part-time basis. I don't think he's really been a full-time player
right.
this year. I would think that you'd need him out there against a team like the Chargers that's going to try to more than likely push the ball down the field. And I think that's probably more his kind of game than it is Sanders, especially if Sanders is going to be at less than 100% coming off a hamstring problem that was significant enough to keep him out of a game. I don't think mentally this is a huge deal for him on the field. He has to go out and play. I think the biggest problem, and we've been talking about this all week, My biggest problem with Merriweather is the player himself, the plays that he makes, not the hit so much as the bad angles, the bad decisions, and getting caught out of position and whatnot. If you're a Pro Bowl free safety type, I'd like to see him make more plays on the football, not, you know, trying to decapitate people. I don't think anybody questions anybody's toughness on the field, but I'd like to see his decision-making improve.
Elsewhere, running back position, Fred Taylor continues to miss practice with a toe injury. I'm seeing in emails and of such get a little more criticized by fans bringing up the Fragile Fred type name. Is this an issue moving forward? I mean, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has been healthy, and they've done a nice job kind of scheming the running game in recent weeks. But sooner or later, does this Fred Taylor injury and not having your best back on the field bite them in the bum?
I think eventually, if they're going to have games where I think every game is going to be close for them going forward, and it's going to come down to perhaps the last possession or at least the fourth quarter. And there are going to be times when they're going to have the lead and they're going to need to try to drain the clock against teams that can throw the ball and get back in the game. If they can't run the ball consistently, that's going to be an issue for them as far as holding on to leads, as it was last year for quite a few games that we saw in the fourth quarter. That said, though, I think if Green Ellis can get more carries more consistently, get himself more in a groove, maybe it won't be such an issue. But given the choice, I'd rather have Fred Taylor out there.
I would, too.
Yeah, you sum it up, I think, perfectly right there. I mean, I think you're better off with Fred Taylor, you know, in that kind of a role. But if he's not healthy enough to do it, fortunately, the Patriots have had solid production from Benny, and he has done the job.
Interesting, you know, too. You haven't leaned on Sammy Morris at all this year.
No, it's a funny dynamic. He's had very few opportunities to do anything, really. Run the ball, catch the ball, even be on the field, really, yep, as part of the offense. And he hasn't looked quite the same. Now, I don't know if that's rust because he hasn't had a lot of opportunities, or if maybe the coaches see a little slight deterioration, maybe a little bit. You know, again, we make a lot out of the fact that all those backs were in their 30s during the offseason. And now when the season is underway, we don't necessarily say, where's Fred Taylor with the toe injury? Kevin Falk is out, and Sammy Morris hasn't really done much. You know, maybe it is, you know, sort of the
starting
beginning
to catch
of the
up
end
with them
for a guy
a little
like
bit.
Sammy Morris. Hmm.
The beginning of the end has begun for the committee backfield. Is that what you're saying?
I think it is. I think you'll still see a committee next year, but I think that there'll be
somebody new
in that committee that will be thought to be, anyway, more of a lead back type.
That speculation is for the offseason. This week, we have the San Diego Chargers, 4:15 p.m. Eastern time. In San Diego, not a blackout. They just slipped under
there. Just barely.
There. Got a local
banana
TV blackout
banana
lifted.
Peeled.
I did want to point out the Chargers' lengthy and significant injury report. The following players did not practice as of yesterday. Obviously, they're a little later in the day. We don't have the Friday update. But wide receiver Buster Davis, ribs. Linebacker Larry English, foot. Malcolm Floyd, wide receiver, hamstring. Antonio Gates, toe, tight end. Big, big issue for them. Obviously, a very productive player, Hall of Fame type. Nate Keating, the kicker, with a groin, and wide receiver Legadou Nene, hamstring, all did not practice. Ryan Matthews, their rookie running back, first-round pick, didn't practice on Wednesday. Full practice on Thursday. He's been battling an ankle, has been playing through it, basically sharing the load with Mike Tolbert. The most interesting is the passing game. Floyd, Gates, either of which could be out or at the very least significantly limited. They already had some issues with Nene and Buster Davis. A little bit limited in numbers there. Patrick Creighton had a big game last week, kind of filling in. But we're at that point in the season where injury reports start to get longer, not shorter, and become major issues as you're kind of figuring out matchups in games.
So maybe we see a little bit more of Darren Sproles this week than...
Could be. There's still talent on that team. Yeah, Darren Sproles has had a very quiet year so far, kind of in all phases. Running the ball, catching the ball, returns have been down. You never want to be the team that allows him to have his breakout performance because he's obviously a guy potentially that can make a lot of plays. Mm. But biggest news of the week, Ross Ventrone back on the practice squad. Now Patriots have a full slate of 53-man roster and 8-man practice squad moving forward. No more trades. The trading deadline passed on Tuesday. Logan Mankins remains a Patriot, sort of, even though he's not really a Patriot right now, the property of the Patriots. Vincent Jackson remains the property of the Chargers and will reportedly report... to the team next week. That's reportedly
report. Jackson will report
to the San Diego Chargers next week, and a lot of speculations that Mankins, a couple weeks from now, will report to the Patriots. We will deal with all those types of news, rumors, signings, no trades, but all the other stuff on each and every Patriots.com roster report. Check us out every Friday. And check out Paul Perillo and Eric Scalavino on the beach sunbathing in 60-degree weather in San Diego.
You shan't be seeing that.
Until then, for those two tremendous writers for Patriots Football Weekly, I'm Andy Hart. Peace out.
This podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.